morning. Hey, let's stand and sing this together.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace.
Amen. I'll sing that again. In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves.
There is hope.
There is hope in your name. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son.
Sing it out, church.
In the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope.
There's hope
in your name.
Your name.
Songs of praise. Our God saves.
He saves.
Our God saves.
He saves. Amen. Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save the lost. He came to take things that were broken and messed up and make them perfect in the image of his Son Jesus. We're so thankful this morning for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us righteous and makes us whole. Let's sing this, church, with all you got.
Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope.
There's hope
in your name. Morning turns to songs of
thank you, Jamie, for being here. John is away. He's out of the country. Great week to be gone. He's in Ethiopia, and so you be praying for him. Hope to return the end of the week. Sean Pillay was away, and he and Destiny are back from Germany. We quarantined him today, and we've got him locked up running the internet program as we're online today. So he got off, but he had to work harder than he normally does, all right? So he'll be working hard. But he's back, and you pray for John as he gets back toward the end of the week. He's there on a music mission trip, and grateful to God that he's able to go. And I'm glad that you're here today. We don't know who in the world's coming to church today, and but we're glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. Many of you joining us online today by television, radio. Thank you for being a part of Olive Baptist Church on this good Sunday morning. Well, we're in a moment. We're going to have a time of prayer and begin three different times today. We're going to pray. First of all, the Executive Director and President of Southern Baptist Convention has called us to pray. Then the President of the United States has declared today a national day of prayer, and many of us have already, of course, been praying and making every day a day of prayer, but it's good to draw the nation, draw our denomination together to pray. Some of you that have lived a long, long, long time can remember a few days like this, but in my life, there's never been an extended time of fear like we've watched in the last few days. Just kind of unprecedented. And so we're calling ourselves to pray and ask God to do some good things among us. So here's what we're going to do this morning. I think I failed to say to all of our guests, thank you. If you're a guest here today, hope you'll give us a guest registration card there in the pew rack in front of you. Take it, fill it out, and when the offering plate comes down the aisle, it's not going down the pew today. Our ushers are going to hang on to the offering plate. We're not going to pass them, but they'll just step in and take that from you, and they'll have room to get in and amongst you today. But don't take the offering plate and pass it down. We'll just drop our filthy lucre into the offering plate, and we'll give that way. But that way we don't pass that, and just helps us with it. And so, gentlemen, remember that as you go and take the offering today. And if you're a guest, please place that guest card in the offering plate. I met a sweet lady coming in this morning. She says, first time guest, first time I ever been here, never been your church. But I said, well, I'm glad you're here today. A friend had brought her. And if you're one of those, thank you for coming on this good Lord's Day. Well, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In just a moment, we're going to just spend a few minutes praying, and the piano will play softly behind us. And I'm going to give us four things to pray about. And then I've asked Baptist Healthcare CEO Mark Faulkner to come and lead us as we pray. And some of the people that we need to be praying for are Mark and his peer group working in the healthcare organization. And we'll pray for him, but he's going to pray for us today and lead us as we pray. Now, here are four things that I'm going to ask you in just a moment to spend some time praying about. Number one, we're asking, this is the outline that has come from our own denomination, that we pray for healing and mercy and for God to bring a healing in our land physically about this coronavirus. Secondly, we're going to pray for President Trump and every leader involved in our nation and that are making life decisions. Thirdly, pray for practical wisdom and teach us to number our days and how we should go about our life in days to come. And then number four, I want us to pray for missionaries around the world that are facing this crisis and having opportunity with the gospel as well as keeping them safe. People just like John Tanner that are there on a short term, but others that are parked all over the world. So we're going to pray about these items, and I'll remind you of them in a minute. And then Mark Faulkner will be here and lead us in that concluding time of prayer. So if you want to sit, you can sit. If you'd like to kneel, feel free to do that. I think that would be a good way. I'm going to just kneel right here by the pulpit, and I'll call these things out. And for these moments, you pray. Mark, just come join me up here, and I'll hand Mark this mic, and he can pray for us here in just a moment and lead us as we pray together. So as we kneel, as we sit, maybe you want to stand, however you want to do that. Number one, right now, would you ask God to bring healing in America regarding this virus. Then would you pray for President Donald Trump, Vice President Pence, as he's leading out in this, and for governors and representatives, local leaders, pray for them to have wisdom and success in their job. Would you pray for your pastor right now? That God would give me wisdom to lead us in how we're to respond. And then pray for yourself that you'd have wisdom to number your days. That we had no steps to take. Then pray for our missionary force around the world, some that you would know by name. Pray for Dr. Paul Negrut, our good friend in Romania. They are going through a crisis with this illness in Romania, many other places. I've talked to him. Pray for John while he's there in Ethiopia. And then just ask God's favor on our Southern Baptist Mission Task Force, 4,700 of them around the world. For God to use them during these critical days of crisis. Oh, God bless Paul. Pray and draw that together. Amen, Martin. Come. It's on.
Yeah. Let's pray. Lord God, what a beautiful spring morning you created. We're reminded that you are our creator, our sustainer, our provider, our salvation.
Yes.
And Lord, it is our will that you would wave your sovereign hand and rid this planet of this virus. Yet not our will, but your will be done. For we know that in the good days and in the difficult days, you are with us. And I know that trials bring about perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope.
Yes.
A hope that does not disappoint. And our hope is in you. And may we, as believers, be the hope for a dark and dying world. Dear God, things are changing so rapidly, but yet we know you never change.
Mm-hmm.
And on that rock we rest. And under your wings we rest. So Father God, again, bless this hour, bless this time together, bless these offerings, Lord, that our faithfulness, even in these days, will go forth and share the great news of your resurrection and salvation. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, Mark. Thanks for coming, praying for us. Could you just give us a quick practical word from the healthcare background and what you guys do and what others are doing in our city and world?
Absolutely, happy to. So there's a lot of activity going on, as you might imagine. We have had the one confirmed case. Thus far, no other confirmed cases in our community. Yet we are very diligent. A lot of activity happening literally around the clock. But what you're hearing from the CDC and local and state leaders is good information to heed. Be mindful, be smart, be wise in terms of how we interact with people these days. We know we can beat this, but we also know that it's going to take all of our diligence to do so.
Amen. Well, thank you for the encouragement to your pastor and to your church for praying for us. And we're going to pray for you.
Thank you.
That
thank you.
God would give you wisdom in days to come. So I'm going to shake your hand, but I'll, amen. And there you go. And I'm not even going to touch that till you use it again in the next service, all right? But Glenn will wipe it off for us. Amen. Thank you. Give Mark a good hand. Let him know you're going to be praying for him in days to come. As he leads us, and I will put this mic back over here, and Brother Glenn put this toilet paper up here, and any first-time guest that'll come by and get some toilet paper this morning. So if you're a first-time guest, I'll give you a roll before you leave. I don't even know what that's about, but everybody's buying it, so we just threw you a roll down here. If you're the first-time guest, come by. That's yours after church today, all right? Jamie, I'm glad you're here, man. Let's lift praise unto the Father.
Here we go. Let's stand together as we worship the King of all kings today, this morning. Let's put our hands together. The Bible says, let everything that has life and breath praise the Lord. Let's say that together. Let everything that has life and breath praise the Lord. And that's what we're here to do this morning. Lift up the name of Jesus. Amen.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. And break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things.
He's our faithful God.
Faithful through every storm,
amen.
You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, God. You do great. Our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things.
Amen. Sing that again, church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You have done great things. God, you do great things.
Praise the Lord. We're thankful this morning for the grace of God that He lavished His love on us, that we should be called children of God. Let's celebrate that.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, You every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord.
Sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Sing stronger than darkness.
Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Let's praise the Lord.
Well, this week is spring break, and we had mission trips going, but they are not going now. But they're staying, but they're still on mission. Our young people are going to be doing that. And in just a moment, Gavin's going to come, and Dixon's going to lead us. Gavin, make your way up here, and he's going to lead us, one of our young people that is on this trip. And rather than going to Miami, where they were planning to be, they're going to be doing mission at home. And so we're going to redirect some of their activity this week. They're going to help us with some projects here and some things in the community doing mission. And so, Gavin, we're delighted that you're a part of that, going to be going in. In the next service, we're going to have all of those that are on that team to come and kneel here at the front, but I asked them to send me one of their members to come pray for us, and I want you to remember to pray for them. With that cancellation, I want to tell you a couple of the things. I met with leadership yesterday, and so I've made a decision to do a couple of things. We're not going to have church tonight, okay? Be no service tonight, and we're not going to do Wednesday night. But unless something else breaks, we'll be back here Sunday, next Sunday. But just watch your email box and Facebook and that kind of thing. The situation is very fluid. Many, many, many churches not meeting this weekend, and many of our people, of course, not here, and many shouldn't be here for this day because of a weakened condition and just don't need to be around. They talk about social distancing, and so with the crowd we've got here, we got social distance today, so that's good. And you can kind of stay away as much you want to, and but that's good. I'm just grateful you're here, and I ask you again to pray for me. We just need wisdom to know what to do as best for the community and best for the long term without caving into fear at the same time. And so just be much in prayer. But pray for these young people as they go. Take off tonight. Pray at home. We won't come Wednesday night, but we'll plan to give you some information through the week of what we have going on. Making that decision as much for spring break because school being out and people gone for 2 weeks now. So you be praying that we'll be wise and know exactly what we need to do in next steps. So, Gavin, how about praying for us? And I need you to pray hard today because we don't have as many people here, so they have to give double for us to do, all right? So it's all up to you, my friend. Amen. You pray for us, my friend, and ask God's favor to be on His church as we give. Thank you.
Dear Jesus, I come to you today. I just pray that you'll bring healing to this country, to the world. I pray for wisdom just for everyone. I pray for Pastor. He's having to make a lot of hard choices. I pray for President Trump, President Pence, and Vice President Pence. I pray that we just, as they're making these decisions that affect our entire country, that you'll give them wisdom and that your will be done. I pray for just all missions trips going out that are already out. I pray that you'll just move in those communities that they're in. I pray for as we go and do some projects this week that you'll work through us and just really help everyone yes. that we help. I pray that we have a great rest of the day. I pray that we learn something today, that we grow closer to you. I thank you that we have the freedom to come here and just worship you and learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you, Gavin. Amen, buddy. Yeah.
But He with blood our freedom bought. It was finished on the cross. Yes, it was finished on the cross. The weight of sin, the sting of death, was swallowed up by righteousness and vanquished by the Son of God. It was finished on the cross. Yes, it was finished on the cross. Now we it was finished on
turn from sin. This flesh is waging war within. Though sin remains, our guilt is gone. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross. His gift of grace our heart betrays, with urge to merit or repay. We need not live to pay the cost. It was finished on the cross. Yes, it was finished on.
That's good. I'm ready to go home now. I know what I'm going to say. Amen. Thank you, choir and orchestra. You filled this place up down here this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness in being here. Amen. Jamie, thank you, buddy. I made a pastoral decision while you were singing that song. The next time I go to Warrington, which is just in a few weeks, and I'll be down at the Warrington camp, I'm taking John with me and sending you up here. That's what we need to do. We need to switcheroo that up some and do it. Man, what a great job today. Thank you, Jamie. I love Jamie Evans. Isn't that a good-looking haircut, too? Amen? Yes, sir. Well, praise the Lord. Take your Bible, and let's go to the 86th Psalm. I am in this series of five Sundays looking at the five prayers in the Psalms. Now, there are other things that are prayed, but only five of the Psalms are called prayers. And we saw last Sunday Psalm 17, today 86, next 90, 102, and 142. And so I'm praying, leading us up to a week from in the morning. Next Monday begins our 20 days of prayer leading up to Easter 2020. And we're gathering here at 6 o'clock, Monday through Friday, praying at home on Saturday, doing what we did this morning, each of those three Sundays on our knees. And if you can join us and will join us, we'll be scattered all over this campus at 6 o'clock and we'll pray together. Then we'll come back to the altar, have a short time of corporate prayer. Out we go before 7, many to work and other things that they need to do, most to breakfast, but we'll be going out and doing that. So we invite you to join us. For those of you that join us online today, thank you. I know there are many more than normal that are on our online live stream, so thank you for being a part today. Hope you'll take your Bible, go to Psalm 86 along with our folks down at the Warrington campus that are joining us, of course, in this service. Grateful to God for them and for you being here. Just a quick word to say to our online folks, because I had many people ask me, say, Pastor, I can't be there. How do I give? Well, you can do that three or four ways. You can mail your offering in. You can give online. You can have your bank send. You can text to give that. There's a number where you text. I think they threw it up there, 854-66-1932. And so I don't even know how to do that. I wouldn't text anybody money if my life depended on it, all right? So, but if you want to send your check or if you feel comfortable doing that or have your bank, you can be a part of that. But more than anything, we're glad you're here and hope you heard Jamie in the choir. What a great word. Praying in a day of trouble. That was my message plan way before we got into trouble. And so God's got a word for us today out of the pen and the lip of David in Psalm 86. Follow along as I read. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good, ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of trouble, there it is, in the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life. And they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. O grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Notice in verse number 7, in the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, because you will answer and hear me. We are in a day of trouble. I don't even know what all of that trouble is, nor do you. But I know it is around the world. A day of trouble, a pandemic, fear everywhere you go. People with opinions from health and science, people with opinions that have never had an opinion about anything in their life, are all of a sudden experts on this situation. It comes from the four corners, much of that coming out of fear. David prays, oh God, in this my day of trouble. What is this day of trouble? I'm not certain what his trouble is, but he said arrogant men in verse 14 have risen up against me, and there's a band of violent men, and they seeking my life. None of them, none of them
have set you before themselves. They're just selfish, violent, and fear is all around. I was kind of putting the shine on this message yesterday and praying through after doing a wedding. I had a wedding yesterday at 4 o'clock, one of the best encounters in a wedding I've had in years. It was two people had been saved in the last 6 to 8 months in our church. God radically changed their lives. And one of our men, the man, it was his one. And he'd been praying for God to save, and he did. He saved him. And we baptized her, and then a little later, we baptized him. And I got together, and there was a big crowd of people, and we shared their testimony and how God had radically changed their life, brought these families together. It was just such a good, good, good thing. I shared with that couple, and man, I challenged them with the gospel. I told them, don't disappoint the Lord, and don't disappoint their friends, and don't disappoint. And then I said, and I want you to look at me right now, and I said, I don't want you to disappoint your pastor. Amen. He kind of shook his head. She didn't say nothing, but he shook his head like, yeah, that's good, Pastor. I'll be there. Well, in the middle of trouble, I was putting the shine on this message. And an email popped up. Dr. Kim Jernigan sits here to my right. She introduced me to the gentleman that this email came from. He's become my dear, dear friend who's preached here for us more than once, Andy Andrews. Now, Andy posted a video, sent it to me. And after I looked at it, I called him. I said, can I use that in my sermon tomorrow? Well, I didn't. I said, I'm going to use that in my sermon tomorrow. He said, I wish you would, and just send it out wherever you want to. It's about 3 and a half, maybe 4. I want you to listen. I think Andy kind of helps us with this day of trouble. I want you to hear what Andy says. Then I want you to hear what David said about this day of trouble. Listen to our good friend, Andy Andrews.
Hi, I'm Andy Andrews. I want to take you back to the 4th of March. More than 3/4 of a century ago, when America was in the throes of a Great Depression. The stock market had crashed, banks were closed, and unemployment was at 25%. But this wasn't merely a time of economic crisis. People were becoming sick, and many were dying. Influenza was epidemic, pneumonia was rampant, and the mortalities from tuberculosis were increasing. Franklin Roosevelt had just been elected our nation's 32nd president in a landslide victory over the incumbent, Herbert Hoover. In light of our present situation with the outbreak of the coronavirus, it is a curious perspective with which we can revisit one of Roosevelt's most familiar phrases. The following is a small portion of the new president's inaugural address, given on a cold, rainy Saturday, in 1933.
This is preeminently the time to speak the truth and the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive, and will prosper. So, first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
It is interesting to note that when Roosevelt delivered this speech, he had been in a wheelchair, a victim of polio, for 12 years. It would be 22 more years before a vaccine would be created for the disease. Still, FDR knew that in times of crisis, fear can be as much an enemy as whatever actually caused the crisis, because fear can stall or completely stop the effort to find a solution. With the coronavirus reality now coming into play, it might be important to remember that we have a history of rising to this type of challenge. Polio hasn't been the only dire puzzle we have solved. During the past century, vaccines for yellow fever, anthrax, and cholera were created. Scientists have engineered vaccines for diphtheria, typhoid, whooping cough, and the Spanish flu. Once enigmas, tuberculosis, encephalitis, and rabies have now been defeated. Chickenpox, mumps, rubella, and measles are no longer a threat to school children, and today, the vaccination for all four viruses has combined into a single dose. Smallpox was estimated to have killed 500 million people in the last 100 years of its existence. However, due to the creation and application of a vaccine, the World Health Organization certified in 1980 that smallpox had been eradicated from the earth. There are vaccinations for hepatitis A and B, meningitis, pneumonia, Hong Kong flu, swine flu, and the rotavirus. COVID-19 is now the number one priority of scientists and researchers all over the world, and today they're better equipped and more knowledgeable than ever about how to deal with the challenge we face. The coronavirus will be the next to fall.
Well, thank you, Andy. He's one of the most positive guys I've ever met. He's a college dropout, but he sold millions of books. If you never read his stuff, I'd encourage you to read it. You'll feel better and be challenged when you read from my good friend Andy Andrews, who lives right over here between us and Mobile, Alabama. What a good word. Coronavirus, you will be the next to fall. Thought it's a good word to us today, that we overcome this fear. Well, we hear what Andy says. What does David say to us? What is it that we should be crying out for in this day of trouble? I've just picked three prayers, three things that he's called out to the Lord about in this text. And I want to challenge you today to pray these prayers in the days ahead of us. Number one, David prays, "O Lord, teach me your way. Teach me your way." Notice it in verse 11. "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth." Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says that there is a way which seems right to a man. Yeah, but we know about that. That way that seems right to us, it's not the best path. We don't need what's right to us. We need what's right unto the Father. What is God's way? Well, I think God's way is encapsulated for us back up in verse number 5. Here is the way of God. "For you, O Lord, are good," that's his first thing, "ready to forgive," number 2, "and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon your name." Number 1, the way of God is that God is good. Yes, indeed, he is good. Psalm 25, verse number 8 says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way." God is good, and he is good. God is good, and he is good all the time. You're going to have to help me a little bit here this morning, all right? He's good, and he's good all the time. You don't find a time when God is not good. He is good, and he is gracious, and he is upright. Let's find the way of God. He's good. You should be good. When should you be good? Yes, all the time, all right? You don't get a pass when somebody does you wrong. God is good, and he's good all the time. You should be good, and you should be good all the time. Number 1, we see that he is good. That's the way of God. Secondly, in verse number 5, not only is he good, he's ready to forgive. Always he's ready to forgive. From the cross, Jesus said, "Father, I forgive them. They know not what they do." Oh, Jesus, the Father, ready to forgive. Over in Nehemiah chapter 9 in verse number 17, I want you to see this verse. He's speaking about the forefathers of Israel. Look at this. It's a long verse. So see it. These forefathers, they refused to listen,
and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So these people of Israel became stubborn, appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. Notice that line. You are a God of forgiveness. The way of God is good. The way of God is forgiving. You should be good because God is good. You should be forgiving because God is forgiving. Paul was a murderer. God forgave him. Nicodemus was a thief. God forgave him. The rich young ruler was all that his name implies. On Friday night this week, I'd had a busy day. I preached on Thursday evening in Alabama, got up 4 o'clock and drove home, had a meeting here with our staff folks, and then took a little nap, met with our young preachers at 4:30, then left here, and I went over to Hillcrest Church, and they had the Gideon banquet. Jack Seiler, one of our deacons, was the keynote speaker. He'd invited me to come, and I was there to hear Jack, but I really wasn't there to hear Jack. I found out later I'd already heard what Jack had to say. I know Jack. I could hear Jack anytime. Matter of fact, we've had Jack here, and we'll have him again in a few weeks. We'll give our Gideon offering. Unbeknownst to me, there was another man there to speak. His name was Leroy Kennedy, with a C, C-A-N-N-A-D-Y. Look him up sometime. Leroy Kennedy. I'm going to do everything I can to get him to come preach in this pulpit. He's not a pastor, but oh my soul, did he bring a word. 22 years he worked for Walmart. African-American gentleman from Philadelphia. When he was a young boy, he was arrested and put in prison, accused of stabbing his own daddy. After he got out of prison, he got married and became a junkie. He was a drug addict. He shared story after story of how he was high. He stole from his own children from their Christmas fund in order that he could go buy his drugs. He told about a Gideon that handed him a New Testament. And Jesus Christ radically changed his life. He had been divorced, lost his family, lost everything. And he said, let me tell you, the Lord God took a nobody, zero, and by the grace of God forgave my multitude of sin, set me on a solid rock, changed my life forever. He had books for sale. I bought one of his books. I've started reading Leroy's book. It's incredible, his story. It's all about grace. God sent him to Indonesia to be a missionary. Quit his job and went to be a missionary. He got over there and they kicked him out of the country and his 3 children were left. They didn't even let him get his kids. He said it took him 6 months to get back to get his kids. Man, we were all like nervous. He said, hey, when you've been as low as I've been, you just learn to trust God through anything. Here's the power of God. And let me tell you what God did for Paul, what he did for Nicodemus, what he did for the rich young ruler, what he did for Leroy Kennedy, he can do for you, because I don't care where you are today, dear friend, the mercy of the Lord God reaches to you and he would save even to the uttermost, because God's way is not only good, his way is ready to forgive you. Amen. If you come running to him, I'm telling you, he'll forgive you whatever that you have done. Then thirdly, he says not only in verse number 5 is God good, is he ready to forgive, but he is abundant. He is abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon him. Notice verse number 5, he's abundant in loving kindness. Look down in verse 13. For your loving kindness, he's speaking to the Lord, toward me is great. Look in verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. There's that word three different times. Loving kindness, loving kindness, loving kindness. That word loving kindness, now listen to me, I want to impress you just a little bit. The word loving kindness in the Hebrew is the word hesed. C-H-E-S-E-D. Hesed, you drop the C off the front. It means mercy. It means loving kindness. The place that you find it first in Scripture is the book of Hosea. You remember what God called Hosea to do? Was to forgive the prostitute Gomer and marry her. He said, I don't want to. And he said, listen, I want you to take that woman who sold herself and show her loving kindness. And he married her. And later God would take that story and say to Israel, you have prostituted yourself and I have loved you like Gomer has loved. Hosea has loved Gomer. Dear friend, you want to know how God loves you today? He loves you abundant in loving kindness. I don't care where you are, what you've done, where you hang out. I'm telling you, God reaches to the depth, to the uttermost, because He is abundant. That is the way of God, and it ought to be our ways. We ought to be good, we ought to be forgiving, and we should be abundant in our mercy and our loving kindness one to another. It's the way of God. And it's what David prays. Oh, Lord, teach me your way. But now, secondly, not only does he say, Lord, teach me your way, he says, secondly, in verse number 11, oh, Lord, unite my heart. Look at it. Lord, teach me your way. I'll walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Now, beloved, listen to me. We don't need a divided heart. Because a divided heart always leads to fear. Now look, everybody in this place has got a mind. Now I know you doubt that about some, but I'm telling you, everybody in here's got a mind. Everybody in here's got a will. You chose to come today. Some of you have chosen to stay. Thank you. And everybody has emotion. Mind, will, and emotion. That's a part of your soul. You also have spirit. That's where we speak about the inner man, the heart. David prays, God, unite my heart. Bring my mind, my will, my emotion, and put them all together. Put them all together. So, as verse 11 says, I will fear, not this world, not a virus. I won't fear my neighbor. I won't fear my enemy. I will fear only you, the Lord my God. Hosea 10:2 says that a heart divided is a faithless heart. James chapter 1 and verse number 8 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 24, you cannot serve two masters. You can't have two masters. Or you'll hate the one, love the other, be devoted to one, despise the other. You can't serve God and money. Mammon, you can't do it. You cannot divide yourself lest you walk in fear. You must unite your heart. Don't be distracted today by money, by fear, by your own self-interest. There should be but one design in your life, and that design should be your desire to please the Lord your God. And if you'll get all of your heart together. You ever had a divided heart? I've had a divided heart this week. Every man, every peer I've got has had an opinion on whether you ought to have church today or not. And the great number of my peer group did not have church today, and that's their choice, and that's good, and I've supported them, and I've said yay, and they've supported me. And we've just prayed for each other. I had several texts this morning from local pastors around here, some having church, some not, and I just say, I'm praying for you. I had written all their names in my prayer book today, but I had to battle a divided heart this week. I said, Lord, I got to get myself together here. I can't fear man. I can't fear this. Can't fear. I've got to fear you, and got to decide what I ought to call our people to do, and became my choice. You know, I was talking to a leader in our city this week, and this came to be so prevalent. And when he quoted myself back to me, when I said, you know, at Olive Baptist Church, 80% of what we do, anybody can do, and 15% of what we do, leadership can do, but 5% of what we do, only I can do. That's what a leader does. There's some things you can't pass the buck on. You can get all kind of input, but there's this sliver. It's yours wherever you are. Some of you at home, that's yours. You can't give that to somebody else. And if you're the daddy, that's your job. That's a good place for amen right there. You're slow. Your heart gets divided. And David prays, oh Lord, unite my heart. Unite all my mind, my will, my Lord, bring it under your lordship. Therefore, I will not fear this world, I will fear you. Oh Lord, teach me your way. Oh Lord, unite my heart. And thirdly and lastly, over in verse 16, he prays, oh Lord, give me strength. Look at verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Oh, grant your strength to your servant. Grant strength to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. Psalm 68, verse 35. Don't miss this verse. Write this reference down and go study it sometime. Oh God, you are awesome from your sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power. Now look at those two words. He gives strength and power. They are not the same word in the Hebrew. When you come to look at the strength and power, a different word. Strength is the outward manifestation of God, and power is the inner manifestation of God. Strength is the arm of God, and power is the heart of God. Strength is when God shows up and shows out. And power is when God shows up and settles your soul. If you ever buried somebody close to you, you need power. Settles your soul. If you're going to war, you need strength. That God gives you that external as well as that internal. It's the peace that passes all worldly understanding inside, and it's the strength to step out and do what God's called you to do. And he prays, oh Lord, give me strength. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, Paul is getting ready to outline the gospel armor. And he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your own muscle. No. Be strong in the strength of his might. Have God's strength. I came upon a Hebrew word this week, and I almost ran around my office when I found this. This was so good to me. It's in the book of Judges, chapter 6, and verse 34. In Judges 6, 34, Gideon is getting ready to fight a fight. God's just called him, and he's going to doubt. Because he's going to, you know what he does. He puts out that fleece. Lord, make it dry here and wet here. And then he turns around and says, wet, dry here and over there. You know the story of Gideon. And then the Bible says in Judges 6 and verse 34, the Spirit came upon him. The word came upon right there in the Hebrew tongue is the word lavish. Not lavish, but lavish. And when you look at that word, I found it. I was running through my Hebrew concordance and I said, oh my. One translation of this word means to wear like a jacket. So what what God did with Gideon. He wore him like a jacket. You say, what's that? Oh, now listen to me. I'm wearing this jacket today. All right? You're not wearing it, I'm wearing it. And when I tell the right arm of this jacket to go up, it doesn't go up till I say so. Because I'm wearing the jacket. It doesn't button the front till I say so. You can scream at this jacket all day in Jesus' name to button yourself. They ain't gonna do it. I can say ain't today because my mother's not here. I want to turn the collar up on his jacket and wear it like it's not supposed to be worn. I'll do it because I'm wearing the jacket. If I want the collar to go down, I'll put it down. Listen to me. When God wears you like a jacket, you'll then have strength for everything He's called you to do. The Spirit Lavish came upon him and wore him like a coat. That's how Gideon went down there and said, lap up that water, lead this way, blow that trumpet. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. He wore him like a jacket. I was thinking about this word. And way back in the deep remembrance of my mind, when I was just a kid preacher, we were back in, well, it was a Sunday school room before we come out to preach. You call it the green room now. And you got a little room where you get ready and you got water and you get your microphone. That's the green room. Well, where I grew up, you went in a Sunday school class. And I remember an old country I was going to preach. I was just a kid. And in my mind, I hadn't remembered it till this week. And that old preacher prayed for me, and he said, Lord, I pray for Teddy today. And I pray, Lord, you'll wear him like a jacket. I thought that old man's out of his mind. I just dismissed that. I thought that, well, that's just some saying he's got. Took me 50 years to find it. I'm reading in Judges this week, and I'm running down that word, lavish, and wear him like a jacket. I said, that's what that old country preacher's talking about. And I said, Lord, that's the key. It's the key to everything we do. Let me tell you, if God wears you like a jacket, you'll be a better husband, better wife, better parent. You'll be a better teenager. God wears you like a jacket. Because it's inside. It's who's in here, not what's out here. And the Spirit of God comes on you. He comes in you, and He wears you like a jacket. And some of you today need to submit yourself to Jesus Christ and let Him come into you and be your Lord. I want you to look in this text, and I'm done. I want you to look at it. 11 times. Verse number 1, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, verse 11, verse 12, verse 15, verse 17, you find that word. Lord, 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 oh Lord, Lord, oh Lord, Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. 11 times. They're different Hebrew constructs. One is Adonai, one is Yahweh, Jehovah, but all translated for us to say, He is God. When He becomes your Lord, He's going to wear you like a jacket. And you, that's the best praying you'll do. It was when you pray, oh Lord, you bow before your Lord. Now, some of you are in this room today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord or your Savior. If you'll call on Him today, He'll save you. Because I want the invitation to be sanctified and sanitized. We're going to just do next steps out there today. You can come. Amen. Shout again, our child. You can come again. And I want you to go. At Warrington, I want you to go to those next step tables out at the back. We're not going to hug and cry over you down here this morning. I want you to feel comfortable. But if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I want you to go one of those next steps. I'm going to come out there in the foyer. I'm going to be there to hang out. I'd love to lead you to Jesus. Some of you say, preacher, I've been away from God. I need to come home. Go to that next step table. Those of you that are encouragers, I want you to go out there and be ready. And they'll pray with you and help you. Somebody's here on a low day because of so many people not being able to come. But there's some people here ought to join Olive Baptist Church today. There's some guests that are here. People have been coming. You say, Pastor, you've said this over and over. You know, I'd come down there and join that church, but there's such a big crowd. Well, this is your day, beloved. This is the day the Lord has made just for you. You don't have to be embarrassed in front of it. Just go to that next table out there in the foyer, and they'll be thrilled to talk to you and receive you into our family. Oh, dear friend, God brought you here on this day to get saved. He wants to wear you like a jacket. He wants to be in you and save you and forgive you. You say, preacher, He could. Oh, yeah, His loving kindness is abundant. It's abundant. There's more Him, there is your sin. Isn't that what that song said, Jamie? Amen. Something about when you sin, His mercy is more. That's abundant. Loving kindness. Well, I want to pray again for us. And I'm going to walk back to the center of the building and pray. Then Jamie's going to start to sing. And when he sings, you'll be dismissed. But don't run out of here if you need to come to next steps. Come. Come say yes to the Lord. You may want to just come kneel at the altar here before you leave today and pray for America. Pray for our world. Pray for those items that we've called to the Lord about this day. And remember, we won't meet tonight or Wednesday, but I'll give you a word about next Sunday and just the next couple, 3 days as we see how the situation pans out and things are going. We'll know what we need to do. When you come in the next Sunday or two, don't shake hands. People feel uncomfortable with that. You might want a fist bump, but here's the best way to do it. If I see Brother David down here, he walks in, he looks at me like he wants to shake my hand. Don't do it. Just say, He is risen. And David will reply, He is risen indeed. That's the way you do that, all right? It's better than shaking hands. He is risen. Indeed, He is. Let's stand together. I will pray. And after we pray, come see me at the next step tables. Come, trust the Lord. Come, join the church. Come and trust Him. Father, in Jesus' blessed name, I give You honor and glory today. I thank You that You are our great God. You are our Lord. Lord, we're in a day of trouble, and we're crying out. We're crying out to You. God, give us strength. Lord, I pray that You show us Your way. We'd be like You. And God, unite our heart. Make us one under the banner of love. Thank You for all of these that have gathered here this morning. Bless them, favor them, and use them this week for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Door.